así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war.
It's a war.
Not at all.
Maybe do I have the wrong? You might have my mic plugged in instead of my headphone.
Give me your.
They're connected.
There.
Connected.
Engage.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
Yes.
Make it so number
this is
one.
Accurate.
We're sitting on the floor.
Oh, and also, like I said, you're totally wrong about the characterizations in Injustice. They're flawless.
That's because they take place in some weird alternate universe that I refuse to accept.
Also. It's like I said. It's like a mix of Kingdom Come and Crisis on Two Earths. It's awesome.
Crisis on Infinite Earths or Two Earths?
Two Earths.
Just two.
Just two.
Do you see my iPad anywhere? Did I put it up there?
It's right there. No. It's
this
it's,
episode of the podcast is getting off to a rollicking start.
It's fucking awesome. Like it's super good. Because our Superman is still Superman.
Okay.
And our, you know, all of our heroes are our heroes. The alternate universe.
Are all the evil ones?
They're not... Well, Superman is definitely evil in the other universe.
Evil!
Yeah. He's a little more unhinged, and then, like, as the story progresses, he becomes pretty much fucking insane. It's awesome.
Sweet. Well, there you have a great video game review.
It's definitely something for you to
on
see.
On the Tabletop Podcast.
What are you talking about? It's a tabletop video game.
Speaking of tabletop video games, I'm going to get into that. Don't let me forget that.
Get into butts?
To get into dick butts. So anyway,
I don't think you get into a dick butt. I think a dick butt gets into you.
That should be the tagline for this podcast.
I don't think you get into a dick
game
butt.
Game Classy, episode 34, dick butt.
Dick butt.
Because that will go up really well on Tabletop Gaming News.
Yeah, dude, it'll be awesome.
By the way, I met one of the guys from Tabletop Gaming News Adepticon. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he was a pretty sweet guy. He didn't know us, so.
That's good.
I was like, yeah, I'm Game Classy. We go on, we put it on your site all the time. He's like, oh, that's cool.
Like, there's like infinite things that go on my site.
I'm
not gonna remember some douches podcast.
They're run by a Cool Mini now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They had to.
Cool Mini now single-handedly controls 75% or what, 50% of the miniatures industry?
Pretty much. A lot of the distribution, at least. Speaking of Adepticon, you want to give our Adepticon roundup? So, Steve, how did you do in the Mantic tournament?
I did great.
Did you? What'd you place?
I did. I placed nothing.
Okay.
Because I didn't go. It was a strong. See, here was the plan was I was going to go to work early on Friday.
Yes.
And which I did.
I think this is good for the Minis podcast because this is actually stuff that happens to mini gamers.
Right.
So there you go.
I go to work. Showed up around 5:45 at work. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to get home early and I'm going to finish my miniatures and be ready for the tournament. And then don't mean finish. I mean get good enough for the tournament. And I come home. I start working on them. And then I'm like, man, I'm hungry. So I come sit on the couch with Nikki and I'm like, oh, let's watch Avatar. And we're like, what?
The Last Airbender?
The Last Airbender. Yeah, we start watching.
The cartoon or the movie?
Okay,
Night Shyamalan.
Shut up. Anyway. So I started watching.
I thought
it
was good.
And I'm eating.
I'm kidding. Like, I never watched it.
I'm eating and watching. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, all right. Well, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to be. And then just suddenly I woke up.
Yeah.
She
had poisoned you.
I slept the entire day. Longer than the entire day on the couch. I woke up, my face hurt. I was like, oh, what the hell? Because my face was grinding on the couch.
This is what Steve said has happened. However,
and
we all have an alternative idea of what happened.
Your alternative idea is 100% incorrect, and I have verifiable evidence from two people here that I did not acquire Injustice until Saturday.
We think that he bought Injustice, and we're just like, fuck the tournament. I'm just going to play Injustice.
Not accurate. Because if that was what happened, I'd say that's what happened. What the hell do I have to lose or gain either way?
Street cred?
There's no fucking street cred. It's fucking Kings of War miniatures game.
Kings of War street cred.
Yeah, and the tournament was there apparently was infinite no shows because only four people played.
That was gonna get in with that with Adepticon. Adepticon this year, awesome, but turnout was super low because if you don't live in the Midwest, Chicagoland area, and you don't know what happened this weekend, Everyone flooded. It was like, it was apocryphal, apocalyptic style flooding.
I wouldn't say it's apocalyptic style.
I don't know. I can still see fish swimming around outside your apartment.
I put those there. Oh, okay. It's my fish farm. If you plant them, they'll grow fish trees.
Apparently, like, there was a bunch of no-shows because everyone's basement flooded.
Yeah, there was a lot of people who didn't show to the... Because the King's War Tournament, I was worried it was going to sell out because they were down to, like, 12 tickets before I... But, like, I think before... Well, I didn't buy in advance, which I'm very happy about. Because I ended up not spending any money on entry fees whatsoever because I just went to Adepticon, went to the shop, bought my Kuklani, my wound counters for Kings of War, and then I left. saw a couple fresh faces. Saw that stupid display board you were all jazzed about.
I think it was pretty sweet. We can get into that in a little bit.
Sure. And then I looked at the Cool Minier, or the Cool Minier not Crystal Brush shit. Yet another year where the top three competitors are all scratch builds.
And foreign. Like I so anyway, I'll give my recap of how I did during my Crystal Brush.
Joe is not foreign, nor can he sculpt.
And I got smoked.
To the surprise of no one.
No one. I scored really well, apparently, but it wasn't like anywhere like top five in it per category.
Right.
Yeah, it was it was not embarrassing.
Looks like Drew Drescher hit second in one of the categories.
Did he really? Yeah. I didn't look at it.
It was like a little, I think it was a Space Marine guy. I don't know, he's like some
Space
fucking
Space Marines.
I don't know, some little guy. But again, can Drew Drescher sculpt?
I'm sure he can. The man is pretty much a painting genius.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, he's very good at the hobby, but I don't remember.
Drew Drescher, by the way, is also ex Games Workshop employee and friend of the guys in the podcast. He probably doesn't listen to the podcast.
I doubt.
So I don't want to say friend of the podcast. I'm going to say friend of the guys from the podcast.
Right. That's a good clarification because for everyone listening, because they all know who Drew Drescher
sure,
is.
Sure, exactly.
We wouldn't want to sow confusion in the ranks.
So let me give my little bit of Adepticon roundup because Steve went for all of 2 hours to buy some Dark Age minis.
I looky-looed. Before you caught me in the store, I was looking around and checking.
Yeah, I was there Friday, Saturday, and a tiny bit on Sunday. Everything was huge. I mean, I think the 40K tournament had some of the best painted models I've seen in a 40K tournament.
I also deduced terribly. That's why I had to leave so quickly.
Well,
I tried to go to the bathroom there, but it was the most disgusting.
I'm gonna get to why that's so disgusting in a second. I mean, the 40K team tournament was some of the best painted models I've seen in a long time. The display boards were beautiful as always.
Unfortunately, they were wasted on the 40K team tournament.
A lot of Grey Knights, a lot of Dark Elder, a lot of Necrons. It was funny because I think it was on the 40K singles night. I was talking with Jeff Wallace, who was helping run the friendly tournament, and I was asking him, why is everyone standing around this table? And they're like, oh, that's the final game. That's like the championship round. I'm like, oh, what are they playing with? I think Space Marines and Necrons. I'm like, shocking.
There was Team Tau at the team tournament.
Yeah.
They were the only four people in the entire tournament with Tau.
Well, that's because the Tau book was the old book. They wouldn't let them use the new codex, which was bullshit.
Yeah, well, because the new codex, the broadsides have anti-air.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then all the flyers flying around would have been crumped by the Tau.
I did like Team Stark, though. That was my favorite. They were playing Space Wolves. And they only ran Fenrisian wolves. That was it. That was their core choice.
I was told about that.
And they had to table their opponents. That was the only way they could win anything. Because they can't have...
Which you can do if your entire army is Fenrisian wolves.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't play 40K. That game sucks. But
that's true. Both of the statement I said was true, and then the statement you immediately followed it, also true.
The fantasy...
Is this picking me up okay?
I think it's picking you up okay.
Okay.
I'm just a little far from it. I'm a little far from it, too.
Okay.
You can
adjust the levels later.
Yeah. The fantasy team tournament and singles, some of the most beautiful armies I've ever seen. Everyone outdid themselves this year. Just fucking beautiful. Everything. Even, like, the shittiest painted army... still looked really nice.
Perhaps they used blue table painting, so their army would look nice.
What's blue table painting?
It's just one of the many miniatures painting companies out there. Ugh.
So that was good. And then there was right across the hall was the Privateer Press Room, where they had all the cool. They had the Cyrus stuff out there for everyone to see. And it looked really cool.
The Metropolis. They look awesome.
I have to admit that
it's Fritz Lang's army.
I do like the art. I'm still kind of iffy on the basic troops, like the spindly guys, but everything else looks really cool on there. They also had the Archangel all painted up and everything like that. The only thing I was disappointed is that Privateer Press doesn't make you have to have painted models to play in the tournament.
Most you do.
Yeah, but I was when I was there, everyone was playing with unpainted
the
stuff.
Real tournaments that you were seeing the open play.
Oh, okay. No, this was actual tournament I was looking at.
It wasn't one of the real ones. Oh. All the real ones required fully painted. So, I mean, when I say real, it was probably something like Iron Arena or one of the, like, just show up and battle ones.
Yeah, probably maybe something like that. The because I only went there, like, I wasn't, like, really paying attention. Because the Privateer press room stank so fucking bad out of all of the rooms. Even amongst the Flames of War guys.
Dude, all of the rooms are horrible.
They were. Privateer press room reeked.
I bet it was. Reeked. You know what's funny? I don't want to call anyone out because he actually might listen to this podcast. But there is one person who is a huge Privateer press fan who I know personally.
Yeah.
And I guarantee I would be willing to put money down that 90% of that body stench was all this one man.
Well, that's what I was thinking because the bathrooms were right next to the Privateer press room.
That's a, you know what? That's a good point.
So I was thinking that maybe some of the Privateer press guys had some bubble guts. And it was just...
Well, there's one guy who I know of who loves Privateer press and he reeks. He smells insane. You can smell him from 15 feet away.
I was just like, oh my God. I couldn't stay in the room. Like, I wanted to, like, talk to some of the guys, and it was just like, fuck it, I gotta get out of here. I have to get out of this room. It smells so bad.
The double team.
Now, it could have smelled bad in the Fantasy and 40K room, but they were much bigger rooms. It didn't stink that bad.
Right.
You had more air circulation.
It's just like in a Magic tournament. If you play at one of the big halls, the Magic tournament doesn't stink. But if you play at a smaller gate, like a smaller venue where everyone's packed in tighter like sardines, dude, the stench. The stench.
Plus,
unreal.
Plus the fact that they're probably eating sardines, because that's how disgusting gamers can fucking get.
Dude, sardines are great.
I know, but you don't eat them during a fucking tournament.
Right, you don't eat during a tournament. Unless you're a giant scumbag.
Yeah, definitely.
Or if you're like hypoglycemic or something and you have to eat to not die.
I have to eat. I did my
tip. Bunny.
Oh, there is a bunny out there. Oh, that is a bunny.
Yeah.
He's
a bunny. he's like, what's going on, guys? What's going on?
We should always podcast in front of a big window so you can see
the bunnies and stuff.
See nature. The Malfoy room, I walked in there immediately and went, ah, fuck, it smells like Malfoy, and I left.
So it smelled worse than the private
room? No, nothing smelled worse than that. Then there That's was, awesome. The store, of course, was open and everything. I got my Forge World limited edition model. I paid way too much for it.
You're such a tool.
I am.
You're a fucking tool,
man. It was an Empire model. You know I play Empire.
You don't, okay. I know you paint and collect Empire. Play is a strong word.
As soon as I paint all my models, I'll start playing with it.
so you'll always ensure that you'll have more models to paint, so you'll never need to play?
Maybe.
Even though you'll never use your 15,000 points of Empire ever?
No, I never will.
When was the last time you played a game with your Empire?
Oh, God, years.
Years!
But, yeah, all the sellers were out there. Cool Mini was there. Mantic was there.
Everyone was there.
Yeah.
All the miniatures guys were there.
The only thing that was kind of surprised is the only Kickstarter that I know was there was the Old West one. What's that called?
Wild West Exodus.
Wild West Exodus was
there.
What else?
What other Kickstarter was going to be there?
Well, I don't know. There could have been others, for all I fucking know.
Most of the ones that ended, they ended too soon. And, like, Warzone. Like, most of the ones that ended, they ended too soon to come to Adepticon stuff.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Like, Wild West Exodus had a lot of miniatures already.
And what was nice is I got to see some of the miniatures up close and painted. I still say I'm a little kind of iffy on the sculpts, but I think it looked really nice. It was painted very beautifully.
You don't like them because they have realistic proportions?
Yeah.
You like the hands as big as their heads, Games Workshop style?
Ham hands!
And dude, all of them, they have fucking hands as big as their heads.
Hey, man. Heroic 28.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of Games Workshop miniatures being shitty, I'm putting together one of the blood cannons.
Oh, really? That's one of the ones that I really agree with you on. I don't think that's a very good model at all.
Not only is it, in my opinion, the worst model in the Games Workshop range.
Yeah.
It is the worst model I've ever... I can't even talk. I'm fucking raging about it. It's the worst model I've ever assembled in my entire life.
Worse than the Landspeeder?
Yes.
Far I hate worse. That Landspeeder.
Far worse than the Landspeeder.
Is it worse than Steam Tank? Metal Steam Tank?
Yeah. I'd rather assemble two metal steam tanks than assemble one of those things.
That's a bold statement.
And the design of the miniature is the stupidest thing. So it's a motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's a fucking motorcycle.
Vroom, vroom.
Which is awful in its own right. But the back wheel has, I don't know what you call them, but like, you know the arms on a train that move when they move the wheel? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
The chuka-chuka-chuka-chuka-choo-choo. So anyway, those arms are in a lot of pieces. It's a lot of parts, and there's a lot of details while you're putting them together. And you can see a lot, because there's these spokes. They have skulls on them, and there's a lot of shit going on. And then there's this giant plate with the corn symbol on it that you put over the entirety of the thing you made. And I'm not, and that's the way it's supposed to be done. I triple checked. I looked at the box art. I looked at the instructions. And I'm like, you put this giant plate over all of this detail. Yeah. There's like faces and shit and like all this stuff sculpted. Nope, giant armor plate. And I'm like, why is this in like 28 million parts? That's the worst thing. All the new Games Workshop model kits are guilty of it. They have so many fucking parts and there's no reason for it.
Oh, no, I agree. There's no reason for it. I love it, though.
That's because you're terrible and like terrible things.
Oh, I love it. I love like the
more parts your model has, the more I'll hate it. Flat out.
The Hurricanum and the Luminarch. Well, I disagree with that. I think the more I get to put together, the more I get to play with, the better. The more I get to paint. I love it.
So bad.
You
could have an insanely detailed model that doesn't come in a fucking 100 pieces. There's so many parts in there. I'm looking at it while it's assembled and I'm like, well, this could have been one piece. I look at this and like, could have been sprued differently.
Did you fail your dexterity roll with putting it together?
No, I put it fucking together fine, but the fucking thing is so stupid. I'm like, why isn't this one piece? Why is this 10 pieces? You look at something and you build and you're like, this could have just been sprued or been two parts that you stick together. And I'm not talking about accessory bits. Everyone likes accessory bits. Like the giant kit is a great example of a big kit that has a lot of pieces, but there aren't a lot of pieces to the miniature.
Yes.
For the giant to be the equivalent of that model, his hand would need to be six pieces, each finger glued on individually. Mm. The arm would need to be three pieces.
Well,
you know, that's the thing. It just, you know, fucking normally flips me out.
Normally, I take what you say about Games Workshop models with a grain of salt because I know that you have sometimes irrational hatred of Games Workshop models, but I completely agree with you. I think that it's just a stupid looking model.
It's so bad.
But anyway.
I had to get
had to get that off your chest
because I was building it yesterday.
I could see you seething when you're talking about it.
I was so fucking mad. I was like, and the worst part is like it's an homage to the Blood Cannon of Korn. And it's like, why don't you just fucking make the blood cannon?
Yeah,
like it's a giant ass cannon. It's awesome looking.
It's part of the problem when the studio dictates the models. It's
That and the Games Workshop CAD models. I figured it out. I hate the Games Workshop CAD style.
I just hate CAD.
But yet you constantly defend Games Workshop miniatures.
Yeah, but that's because I only hate looking at CAD.
They have the most inhuman CAD miniatures there is. Because a lot of the CAD that I like, it all looks like that miniature was sculpted by someone by hand. Like these miniatures, they're like rounded, big shit. This miniature looks like it came out of a computer. It looks like a 3D model. Like some dude at Pixar was like, I'm making a blood cannon. That's going to be motorcycle-y.
Well, since we're on the subject anyway, we might as well get through it. High Elf's got a leak. Of course. Here we go. Steve, go ahead and talk about what you don't like for a company that you don't like.
The fucking chariot.
Which one?
The great eagle pulling the chariot.
You don't like that? Of course he doesn't like it.
The best is you can put a bolt thrower on it too.
I know, it looks awesome. I would love to, what I'd like to see on it, I'd like to see like a huge sail or something like that. There's a lot of room for conversion on that. I think it's a sweet looking model.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. The eagle looks good.
Oh, the eagle looks fucking beautiful.
But I wouldn't use any other part of that model.
You don't like the little boat?
No, it's so stupid.
I like it. I think it's cool.
Fucking eagle dragging around a tub. It's a bathtub.
It's magic.
That is the...
What do you think of the Phoenix?
You're like George Lucas. The power of myth.
Maybe I am like George Lucas. I'm not gonna play High Elves, mind you.
The Phoenix itself doesn't look terrible. It just looks like a monster. It's kind of all right. But the rider is atrocious.
I think it fits the High Elf of what they've been doing with it.
Chunky and giant headed.
Giant heads. Giant hats. It's giant hats.
I hate the High Elves to begin with.
Yeah,
I think it's a terrible range.
Because it's too clean for you.
It's not clean. It's stupid.
It's not nurgly enough for you.
No, it's just a fucking stupid range. Like the way they've done their elves is dumb. Like I like the Wood Elf range. And arguably, the Wood Elf miniatures as models are worse.
Yeah.
But I like the Wood Elf concept, and the like execution's not great, but the concept is good.
Yeah.
You know, it's elves with bows. But the High Elf army, oh my dude, those new models, they're so bad.
I've always had a soft spot for them. I mean, I don't have any problems with the High Elves, the new ones.
Did you not see the giant thread on the Game Classy page where everyone was making fun of the fucking chariot?
I'm going to be honest with you. In 90% of the stuff I see on Game Classy, I just ignore. Because if it's especially the Games Workshop, because there's like three guys on the Game Classy Facebook page that all they do is bitch about Games Workshop.
Yes!
And it's you or one of them. So it's like, but it's kind of like, well, I'm not going to get any information out of this because it's just going to be people bitching about it. You know, I'm... Cliff, who's
and it's $60 fucking.
Yeah, well, that's not anything new. That's that's just.
Do you remember when chariots were 25? Like,
yeah, but that's it's big. But the Cliff, when I was at Adepticon, I was sitting there and we were talking with a guy who's running this. It's kind of a. I'll explain it in a little bit, but he's running this game and Cliff says it best. He goes, "Joe will give every game a chance. He'll look at it. He'll feel it out. He feels always optimistic about games. I'm like Pat B when it comes to video game hardware." Uh-huh. But Steve will just hate everything until you shove it down his throat and say, like it. And even then he won't like it. But that's me. And so I always feel like it's not that negativity is a bad thing. Like, it's just,
I like to call it extreme skepticism.
It's skepticism is different than negativity.
Extreme about new games.
Oh, about new games.
Yeah.
No, I'm personally, like, I love mini gaming. I love tabletop gaming. I'm always going to be optimistic about something. Even, like, 40K, which is a game I don't like to play, I really like going and, like, looking at the games and looking at the models and talking to the players.
Right, but that's not, I'll do that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like,
I mean, I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's never my point.
Yeah, you know, I'll never, you know, put it down. Unless there's, like, a really, really terrible model. Like, the Everqueen Guard in the new...
Like they're straight out of fourth edition. They look awful.
I know the metal ones that they used to have were way better looking. And now we know why Games Workshop never puts out female models,
because they can't sculpt a woman to save their lives.
That's
terrible.
But $50 for those 10 models, it's just not worth. They're not that good looking,
right?
And that's my problem with it.
Terrible.
That's terrible.
I can sum up the High Elves in one word: terrible.
I have to see the rule book before I can make that decision.
It's terrible.
If anybody would like to send me the rule book, please feel free. My email address is joe@planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs.
I mean, if you really want a copy of the rule book, I'm sure I could get you one for free.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could get one too.
Pretty sure you both of us have access to the ability to acquire free things.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
If only there was some sort of magical box that I could go on and get information and maybe get free stuff.
Yeah, and type words and get things back out of it.
Yeah. If only I could get a torrential amount of information at one go.
I fucking hate that. It's so bad.
What? The house?
Yeah. I forgot that got... I hated it so much I blocked it out of my mind and forgot about it.
I think it's fun. And I think if you already have a high elf army, which not many people do.
No, because they're terrible.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good addition. What, do you like high elves?
I play Mantic High Elves.
Oh, well, that's Mantic.
Right, they have elves that look like elves.
Yeah, they have elves with dildo spears.
I think you're confusing with the Games Workshop elves.
No, they have dildo spears. They're totally like little penises, like penises on ends of sticks that they go up and they obviously put inside of other models' orifices.
Well, that sounds all right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying they have dildo spears. Yeah, the...
Your face is a dildo spear.
The dildo spear! I had fun at Adepticon. I took Pat B from Pat's Retro... He's never been to a gaming convention, and he thought it was a magical, magical place. He was just like, wow! This is amazing!
Yeah. Did you take him to the privateer press room?
I did. And I was like, we have to leave. And he's like, I know, it smells kind of bad in here.
Well, I love your reaction. It's the worst thing you've ever smelled in your life. You've got to get out of there. And Pippi's like, it's good. It smells bad.
Well, you know, it's because he's an eternal optimist. I got to actually see, I know you're going to laugh at this, but I saw they did a big historical mega battle. They did a Revolutionary War one.
Mega battles are the worst.
It was, but no, this wasn't like an open one, like where it's just like, oh, come and play. This was like, they had a set peak group that was playing.
Right.
It.
That's still terrible.
It was so cool.
Mega battles are the worst.
It was a Revolutionary War, Steve.
That's also stupid, but like the fact it's a mega battle is far worse than the fact that it's a Revolutionary War.
Oh, it was beautiful.
I'm a grump.
You are a grump. It was Joe Crown. Joe Crown was playing.
Joe Crown. I would have been like, Joe Crown, who's that guy? Why is he dressed in red? That means is he fighting for the European Union?
Euros. So getting away from that, well, actually, C2E2 is this weekend, but it already passed by the time this pops up. So if for your
probably ingest, unless you get it up tomorrow.
So mini gaming for that, Heroclix.
Do they even have Heroclix there? Like
probably not.
I doubt it.
Oh, you know they do, because they have those guys that sell like the old ones, like the.
Well, there's the guys that are gonna sell it, but I don't think they run any events.
No, they don't run any events. They're doing an Injustice panel though.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Are you going?
I'm gonna maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I've never really gone to any panels ever.
Well, I mean, if you go to C2E2.
I'm going to C2E2 for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's happening for sure.
Sweet.
Like, and once I told Nikki about Bruce Boxleitner, she fucking lost her shit.
Did Pat tell you he's interviewing
her? He invited.
He invited you?
He invited.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, Nikki lost her shit. So.
You were like, Tron!
I went, bomb, 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 Tron! Yeah. So it's pretty fucking awesome.
I know you're going to laugh at me, but you know immediately what I thought? Babylon 5.
Babylon 5.
Babylon 5. And it's so bad. I was thinking about bringing like one of my Omega ships that I painted up for my Babylon 5 A Call to Arms minigame and bring it to get them to sign it. But it would be bad form to have someone that you're interviewing sign stuff. You're just not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Maybe I'll shake his hand. I'm not going to have anything. Pat's going to want to talk about Tron. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And he's going to talk about a steampunk show that he's got going on.
Yeah, Lamplight City, I think, or something like that.
Steampunk. Steve, what's steampunk?
How many miles to the gallon does your Zeppelin get?
God damn it. Steampunk.
Fingers crossed, we're out of character. Where's Dave? Has anyone seen Dave?
So let's talk. You were actually busy on the Facebook page today. You put up a bunch of Kickstarter stuff.
I did.
You want to talk about any of them in particular?
Not well. The Dwarven Forge dungeon tile set has now become a ridiculous deal.
Is it?
Ridiculous deal.
What do you think about the secret weapon battle? Like the pre-made battlefield tiles. Like they're doing, like, you know how Games Workshop has the 1x1 tiles or whatever.
I don't care for tiles.
No,
they look nice. Like those tiles look nice, yeah. But I don't care for tiles simply because it's like A, it looks bad because it breaks up the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And B, if you have any game where knowing ranges is an issue, like War Machine, Hordes, I'm sure some historical games you don't get to pre-measure.
Yeah.
Any game you don't pre-measure, tiles ruin. Flat out ruin. Because there was a table at the bunker ways back that was made by the immersion course.
The immersions.
Immersed in shit. It was made by the immersion course, and they made a dwarf hold, but they used floor tiles, which not only made the table a fucking horse to move, but gave you a flat measurement for everything.
So you can count the tiles?
Right. You could just look at the table and you can go, oh, well, I know the exact distances. Because
you can pre-measure, so who cares?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was back when the game required some modicum of skill, and you had to, like, guess ranges for your cannons and stuff like that. And I saw a dude just tear apart an army with stone throwers. He's just like, I guess 33 inches. And it's like, exactly on the guy's head. He's like, I guess 27 and a half inches. Exactly on the guy's head. It's just like, oh shit, this table's bad. And if you use tiles, terrain tiles, it does the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's they're totally great as a storage solution and a gaming solution if you are for sure playing a game that has pre-measuring.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, if you don't mind lines breaking up the table.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad, so to speak. I'm the same way. I'm just old school. Like, I'm... there's a guy who follows us on Facebook. He does battle boards. All of his stuff is beautiful. And I'm like that guy who's like very much like, I'm going to go to the train store and I'm going to buy all the train making stuff. I'm going to put it together and create an awesome looking board.
I think Zuzzy Mats are the best option for anybody looking for a...
for quick. Like not even quick,
because you could focus all your efforts on modular terrain on top of the board.
Yeah.
And that's generally the stuff that's fun to make. You know, like hills and castles and that kind of shit. Because the Zuzzy mat is perfect. It's textured. There's a lot of variety on it.
Yeah.
And it's easy to store. So what do you want? And lots of people make the fully modeled terrain, but that's not gameable. Like, you can't do it because you can't move the fucking forest. You're like, I guess my guys are invisibly in here. So you use a Zuzzy mat. It'll look great. And you put your own pieces on the table that you've made. Because those are the best parts.
Like sand.
Well, you get to use sand on your kidney bases.
Sand kidney bases.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The kidney shape of the kidney shape of the forest. You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
Classic forest shape. It's always a kidney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get your reference.
Right.
Terrain.
The plastic workshop trees are even in the kidney. So.
Oh yeah, they are. Well, there's a couple different sets, but I get what you say.
Right. But yeah, you get to sand that. And the thing, and that's the fun part to make. you know, not the fucking table. And then you get to roll up your mat. Yeah. So, like,
I just think the whole thing is great. Fun to make. That's just me.
Well, I mean, that all and it all depends on how much your house.
Yeah, how much you your
have
house
a,
is.
A, if you have a house, and B, can you have a permanent fixture in your house where you have a gaming table?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know if you could. I don't know if you can have a permanent fixture. You might need something you could still move around.
No, not right now. I don't have room for it.
Right.
Not where I live.
So, like, you'd have to do something that's portable or not necessarily portable, but storable.
I mean, I could if I, like, rearrange my basement, but I like having, like, a theater in my basement.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, what are you willing to commit to?
I have friends who I go to their house to game. I don't want my friends coming over to my house to game, mostly because I like the option to leave.
Like, I'm going home.
I'm done. I'm going home.
I'm done.
Yeah. That's why I go to. That's why we have a game. I have a gaming group I go to, and I participate in game nights. What else? What else do we have for Kickstarter? You had Terramid, Oathsworn Heroes of the Dwarves by Fire and Sword. Actually, by Fire and Sword. Actually, I don't know why you put that up there.
What?
On Game Classic for Kickstarter, you put by Fire and Sword. It's a historical game involving 16th century Polish armies.
Why else would I put it up?
I don't know. It's everything that you hate. That entire sentence. 16th century, 15 millimeter historical game involving from the Polish and, like, all of Eastern Europe. That's everything that you hate when it comes to minigaming.
Yeah, but that some people do like it.
That's you. You hate everything.
Right. I didn't say I liked it. I mean, the name was cool. I was like, because I saw it, I was like, Fire and Sword. That sounds awesome. And I looked at it, and I was like, ugh, this is terrible. I better put it on Facebook.
I'll tell you, it's actually the name of Poland's, like, national book. Like, the book that, like, I watched the movie. The movie's really cool.
What the fuck are you talking about?
There's a book called By Fire and Sword, and it's all about 16th century Polish winged cavalry fighting.
See, when I think of winged cavalry, I think of dudes with wings.
You basically think of
dudes riding Pegasi.
You think of a Led Zeppelin cover, don't you?
No, I hate Led Zeppelin. They're terrible.
Ugh, you're the worst person ever. You're horrible. Crowsmaster Arena Anime Miniature Board Game. Fate Dice, Tool Cards, Fantasy GM Cards.
Those look pretty cool.
Lords of Gossamer and Shadow.
That's all based off the Diceless Amber system of role-playing.
And you put Diceless.
Diceless! Yeah, Diceless games are interesting, and I was, like, looking at them, because I've yet to find one that does it perfectly, or, in my opinion, playable. A lot of them use they're diceless, but what they have is they have some sort of, like, auction or bidding system where you have, like, 10 power points and all the other players have 10 power points. And the players basically use these power points throughout the game to accomplish feats. And, like, they go, I'm using 3 points, so this is going to happen, like, the way I want it to. And the problem is a lot of them I see there's, like, a diminishing returns and or limited resources where eventually it gets to a point where the game becomes DM fiat, and he's just like, nope, you don't do it. Do you have any points left? And you're like, oh, no. And he's like, oh, your guy's dead. And, like, you know, if you're going to play a game like that, that's the thing. If you're going to play a game where everybody can do what they want, which is the basic core of a diceless game, and there's no rules, why don't you just sit around and tell each other a story? There's no game to that.
Long ago, when my ancestors
you could do that. That would be
in search of the white buffalo.
That could be fun, but it's not a role playing game. There's no game in that, and that's the issue I have. Is, like, those games are not games. They eventually just boil down to it. One guy going, "You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that," because you guys are all out of points.
Interesting.
And there's no, like, so I'd like to see a diceless game that actually had mechanics. And it's very difficult to do because most of them. They are committed to the term diceless, which also means they're committed to not using any other alternative task resolution system that is chunky or crunchy. Like, so, like, a dice, like, technically a card game or a role-playing game that resolved everything with a deck of cards.
Is like a dice
it's
game.
It's diceless, yeah. But it's not because it uses a random number generator. You know, just uses playing cards instead of...
If only we had something that could generate a random number between 1 and 20.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm interested to see if
someone could actually... One of my favorite lines from that movie.
If I could see something that actually had a game feel.
Yeah.
That's the game feel is something that's very important when I'm playing any game. Like, I like the game feel is by far my number one thing I look for in a game.
Yeah.
And that's why I hate so many games, because I detest games that, in my opinion, have a bad game feel, or a design that's not akin to competitive gameplay.
Yeah, I think the thing that turns me off of games the most is it's more of a design thing. I like a good overall feel. Like, if the models reflect the rule system, which reflects a feeling that it's like emanating from the game, and kind of like game feel. But
I guess Games Workshop's really good at that because their models are random and shitty, and their rules are also random and shitty. So combining those two, you've got a game that really reflects its miniature line.
Games Workshop rules promote like my feeling from them is more of a feeling of grandeur. You know, like, this is like a big epic thing. It's a big epic feel.
Grandeur like my deuce in the morning.
Yes, grandeur like your deuce in the morning. Okay, we also got Obsidian Portal Reforged. Hero Brigade, the deck building and card battling game. By the way, I introduced Pat B to DC card build in the deck building game.
Uh-huh.
He's like, it took him like the entire game to get it. But when he got it, he was like, oh, I get it.
I get games.
I get games. We're gonna play this weekend at the C2E2.
Oh yeah? Nice.
Yeah. But that was, it was like, it took me till like the last turn, but I finally got it.
I finally understand. Yeah.
He's not a gamer.
Right. Well, so. I mean, he does video games, but he doesn't do any of the video game tabletop either.
No, I mean, but it's like you put a tabletop game in front of me or you or any of our friends, it takes us maybe like a turn and a half to get what's going on.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on like if it's like a shitty game, like if we're playing like.
Or a very complex game.
Twilight Imperium. Or like.
Twilight Imperium seems like a game that would be very fun if I already knew how to play it.
Yeah.
I just don't want to learn how to play it.
It's like, it's a vicious, vicious cycle.
It's just, it's very complex. And yeah. Like, it's probably awesome because generally the more complex your game gets, if it's not complex for complexity's sake, you usually get much better gameplay options.
Yes. I like how Twilight Imperium has become the penultimate of complicated games.
Currently, I have not personally found a game that's more complex or in-depth than Twilight Imperium.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's what you're looking for, you can't go wrong with that game.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. I haven't found one yet. Most games are simple.
Also, you know, just to put it out there on Adepticon, speaking of just games in general, so many people playing Zombicide. Like, so many people playing Zombicide. Like, we were sitting there playing the card game, and there were people to the left of us and right of us playing Zombicide.
I know. I sell that game. I know how popular it is.
It's ridiculous. And Zombicide Season 2, of course, is also.
Right.
It's not
a good game.
One of the free giveaways was some Zombicide figures.
It's not a good game, but it's popular.
Yeah. Very popular. So that's, like, all the Kickstarters. There's a lot of Kickstarters. So if I had $100, Steve, let's say I'm your average Joe on the street.
Ha!
Ha! And I had $100.
Are you a DM?
Let's just, if I had $100.
No, it's extremely important. If you're a DM, go with the Dwarven Forge. If you can only pick one of the Kickstarters I posted,
yeah.
And you're a DM, go with the Dwarven Forge. Because that deal is the best deal for 3D dungeon terrain that has ever existed.
Yeah.
By a huge margin.
What about Herstarts?
Like I said, the best deal that has ever existed for 3D dungeon terrain ever.
Okay.
It's.
But if I'm not a DM.
If you're not a DM, then I would weigh your options carefully because, like, Myth, I think Myth is probably over, but Myth looks really good.
Myth?
100 figures for, like, $100. It's like.
Yeah, I saw they had the Myth figures there. The Mercs guys were there. They had some of the figures there. They looked good. It's definitely not my style of game.
It's also a board game.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not my style of figures. Like, the figures were very.
Well, I'm sure you don't like the Super Dungeon Explorer figures.
No.
But that's a huge game. That game's super popular.
Oh, yeah. So people like Super Dungeon Explorer.
Right.
Because it's easy to paint.
Yes and no. If you want to do it with the anime style, it's not easy to paint because you got to paint the fucking eyes perfectly.
Yeah. Oh, Steve-san.
Yes.
Yeah.
It will ruin it.
Yeah, I was not.
Senpai. Senpai Joe.
Senpai. It's very, it's anime style.
It's chibi.
It's
chibi.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but it looks really cool.
The Robotech game.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. I was going to get to Robotech. Robotech's got a Kickstarter going out. It's by Palladium.
Palladium.
I've heard lots of good things, but I also heard there was a seedy underbelly to that game. And would you care for me to explain the seedy underbelly?
Oh, please do.
Apparently, the one of the people who like did a lot of the initial designs for the figures was kicked off that design because of some issues. And I don't want to go too deep into what it was, but it was problems with basically the people at Palladium being kind of jerks about it.
And by people at Palladium, you mean Kevin Zimbedia?
Probably. I don't know who that is.
Oh, Kevin Smitty is the guy who. Okay, I'm gonna give everyone a little bit of background and history on Palladium Games. Wait, Palladium Games was founded by a dude named Kevin Sambedia and his wife at the time. Their idea was to make a competing title to Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. So they wanted to make a game that had better rules in their mind. And they wanted to, you know, expand, give players the option to do whatever they wanted. Was a big part of their game. And the first edition of Palladium Fantasy and the following subsequent second edition, which was just revised rule, or not second edition, revised Palladium Fantasy, they accomplished that goal very well. It is a better game than Advanced Dungeons & Dragons by a huge margin. Your playable races are, there's a ton. You've got elves, half-elves, dwarves, gnomes, halflings.
Quarter-elf?
Humans.
On my grandmother's side?
Troglodytes. Ogre, troll. Like, that's a playable race. Like, you just straight up, you're like, I want to play a troll. And they're like, sure, here are the rules to make a troll.
Here's your internet.
Yeah. And then, like, that was, you know, huge. Like, you go, I can play as a monster? Like, that's a big thing. And then they made combat rules feel a little bit more like an actual medieval combat. So there were rules for parrying, dodging attacks, striking back, and the armor system was ablative hit points. So when you took damage, if you got hit, your armor would be hit, and your armor would take the damage, unless your opponent rolled a critical, which means they would get through your armor and get to you, that kind of thing. And like they succeeded, and the skill system was percentage-based. It was a much better game than Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. It sounds
very Stevie.
Much better game than Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Now, that was a much better game in the 1980s, the early 1980s.
Yes.
Kevin Zambedia refuses pretty much to update any of his rules.
Okay.
And then he came out with Rifts and like various other games, and they all use the same core system.
Yeah. Well, I remember Rifts. I mean, Rifts isn't a bad game.
Well,
it's not a bad game.
It is, but it isn't. It's an old.
It's an old game.
It's outdated.
Yeah. It's.
But Rifts is new. Like, all of the new content is still, because they refuse to do a new edition of the rules. So they're still using rules from the 82.
I played Rifts. I think I was playing Rifts in like early 2000s, late 90s.
Then, and it was old by then.
Yeah. And I'm saying it wasn't a bad system back then, but it wasn't a great system. It wasn't something that I loved playing.
Right. And then that's, you know, and then that's just something they don't do. They refuse to change it. And Rifts is a great setting.
Yeah.
Like the setting art's really. And so he's done a lot of games all using the same system. Like there's superhero, there's fantasy, whatever. And then they had an idea to just make everything one world where you could combine every one of their books. And throughout the history of the company Palladium, I have heard I never really looked into confirming them, but I'm sure if you hear enough, some of them are at least true. But I've heard like nightmare stories about Kevin Zambedia, like not paying artists, not doing this, not doing that, like just being.
This
like,
is all unconfirmed by the Game Classy like, research
just
staff.
Just generally being horrible as like to work for, and like firing people randomly, like insane mood swings. So like, there's lots and lots of shady shit he did, supposedly, that wasn't necessarily even like thought out. Just like,
well, I mean,
he thinks he's doing you a favor, but he's actually not because he's doing it this way, so on and so forth. And like, it's a bunch of drama.
Well,
and mess.
Anyway,
if any Palladium title comes out, you can be rest assured there's drama and mess behind
it. Okay, well, there's behind Robotech as well. The game doesn't look bad. It looks like Robotech.
Right, figures look awesome.
I'm not a big Robotech fan. I was never a big Robot. I was a bigger Exo Squad fan.
Exo Squad. JT Marsh.
Exo Squad.
Fighting the Neo Sapiens.
The Neo Sapiens.
Yeah, dude.
On
that
Mars,
was a good show.
Mars and Venus.
That was a good show.
It was a great show.
Well, it doesn't hold up.
I think it does. Well, I mean, the design does. Like, the people's design, because they all have, like, weird, like, 90s hair.
Yeah, their 90s haircuts are really. JT Marsh has got like he's got the Kid and Play haircut.
Yeah, he's got like a flat top.
He's got
like
a flat top, and
he's
got
lines
the shade
on the side.
Yes. Their hair is so 90s.
But
you know what show does hold up though? Gargoyles. That show holds up.
Gargoyles.
That show's awesome.
That's how the theme song goes, right?
No.
Gargoyles.
It's just instrumental.
Oh,
never mind. I don't know anything about anything.
No, I don't. I watch Gargoyles. I was a little. Like, when Gargoyles was big, it was like when I was like starting to get into big girls, so I wasn't like into cartoons anymore.
You could be into cartoons and girls. You could be into girls who are cartoons.
Well, oh, Steve-san.
Steve-senpai.
Don't
look there, senpai.
the robot, it looks decent. I mean, I'm not.
It's already made its funding. Doesn't matter what you say.
Well, that's because people fucking love Robotech.
That's one of the Palladium games that's been around for forever.
Fucking weirdo basement dwelling weeaboos.
Their system's really good. Well, this is actually. The Robotech role-playing game from Palladium came out in the 80s, sir. This was before the dawn of the Weeaboo.
I don't care.
And
I don't.
You should. It's gaming history.
I
guess I'm more of the gaming historian here.
You are. Open up the big book. Dust off.
Blow the dust off.
Dust off the pages.
Robotech is a good system for what Robotech is, even though it's just a variant of the classic Palladium system. But the concepts they introduced and created for the Robotech game were very good and worked very well for Robotech. But then they kind of wrecked the shit out of it when they brought them over to Rifts.
It anime to me, and I've talked about this on other podcasts before, I'm not the biggest anime fan. Like, I'll occasionally watch something and I'll be like, oh, that's good.
I like anime, but let me throw this out there again. Just like everything else on the fucking world that's a form of entertainment, the majority of it is dog shit.
Yeah. Well, I'm not, I'm just like, it's not something I seek out. Like, on Netflix, they always have all the animes on there. And, like,
almost all of them are terrible.
And I, like, you know, and I work with teenagers, and a lot of times they're like, you watch Bleach? I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Do you like Naruto? And the only thing I know about Naruto is the fat guys who wear the headbands.
Naruto Sand Ninjas?
I don't know what any of that means. I mean, I've watched the only anime series I've probably watched front to back a couple
Cowboy
times
Bebop.
Is Cowboy Bebop. Yeah.
Cowboy Bebop is the anime that people who hate anime like.
it's not that I hate anime. It's just
I didn't say you did. It was like people who hate anime still like Cowboy Bebop.
It's good. It's very really good. And like, you know, I've seen a bunch of the movies. Of course, I watched Akira numerous times.
Right.
While stoned off my ass.
Tetsuo!
Kaneda!
It's good times. Yeah, I mean, like I said, just like most everything else, there's a bunch of it that's terrible. And then
I found out, of course, from one of my weeaboo friends who were like, Akira only takes place between the first and the last graphic novel. You lose everything in the center. I'm like, I don't even think if I read everything in the center, I'd understand what the hell was going on.
It's very heady.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with it, is it looks like Blade Runner, but all of like the characters look like cartoons, and it's like, it kind of just distracts me a little bit.
Mm.
I don't know. It's, you know, I like cartoons. I like anime, and that's my problem with Robotech, is like, I would love to go back and watch Robotech, but I don't think I could enjoy it. I like Battle for the Planets.
Gatchaman?
Gatchaman.
Yeah.
Of the Planets, Battle for the Planet?
I don't know. I don't know the English names. It's just Gatchaman.
Battleship Yamamoto?
Starship Yamamoto is pretty
whatever.
Awesome.
I don't fucking know. I'm just naming anime things.
Yeah, well, like,
Speed Racer. I watched a lot of Speed Racer.
If you actually want to watch some Robotech stuff, you should just watch the movies.
Yeah.
Are they all good?
Macross. Are they all like self-contained?
They're self-contained, and they range in quality.
Oh, okay.
Like they're done from many different years apart, and all the Macross title. I might be wrong. I'm not a fucking Robotech expert, but if I remember correctly, any of the Macross movies that are related have a related title or subtitle. So like Macross Plus is one of them, and then Macross Plus Crescent Skies is another movie, but that one's related to Macross Plus.
Ah.
So yeah, you should take a look. Macross is good.
Does Voltron show up at all?
No. Voltron's terrible, dude.
Voltron's got a great soundtrack though.
Dun 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 dun.
See, it does.
Got a good soundtrack.
So anyway, one of the guys who the drama was caused over, that was telling me about the drama, he's actually has a big robot mini game coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And for life, I was supposed to bring the card.
Was he the guy who was independently making Robotech miniatures on his own?
I don't know if he was doing that on his own.
Okay, because there was a guy who was making Robotech. As far as I understand, there was a guy who was making Robotech miniatures on his own, and they either hit him with a cease and desist or they bought his sculpts. And then I'm not sure. I don't know. The story.
I don't know. But anyway, it was it's just a big robot. It's a big robot mini game.
Right.
But it looked really smooth. It looked way easier than, like, let's say, Battletech.
Or Heavy Gear. The worst miniatures game ever made.
One of the cool things that he was telling me about it was that it was, I wish I had the name of it. Maybe I'll put it up if I find this card. It's that it's all about terrain rules. Like, the big part of the game is that you destroy buildings.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that, like, your robots deep strike in, and then when they land on top of buildings and blow up buildings, and they could come in at an angle and like take out like rows of buildings.
When is someone going to make the Usokumachi Legend of the Overfiend miniatures game?
You just said a lot of words I don't understand.
It's a classic hentai.
Oh, okay. Is there tentacles?
Oh, yes.
Hen tentacles?
Dude, it's the fucking Overfiend, man.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't know who the Ovaltine
was. One of our Facebook bros pointed that out with when the Hen Tentacle came out. He listed the recipe for making your own Overfiend. I was like, that's awesome. Well done, sir, listening.
Just a couple other things I want to talk about before we end the podcast, because we got 10 minutes left. I went to a new game store in Chicagoland area, Titan Games. T-Y-T-O-N.
Yeah.
They're up
Titan.
They're up in Villa Park. And they actually do retro video games. Like old they're it's really cool concept. It's one of the only times I've ever seen this in a store is they sell retro mini games and retro video games. So you go there, all of their GW stock is all old second edition 40K, fifth edition fantasy. They have all Nintendo.
Do they have the rule books?
Yeah, they have everything.
That's pretty cool.
And it was really cool to kind of go in there.
Do you want
to
play Games Workshop when it didn't suck?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. It's actually run by one of the guys who runs it is an ex-Games Workshop employee, red shirt. He actually worked at Randhurst.
Oh, nice.
My old stomping grounds.
Yeah. The curse of Randhurst.
The curse. Curse. It's really cool. Me and Pat, because Pat wanted to go there because it was, you know, retro video games. He was like, they have a TurboGrafx-16 video game I want to go get.
And so I like Pat B., but that man has a problem.
So I went up there, and you know, I went up there with them because I saw that they had all these, you know, old game, and in one of the pictures they showed, they had boxes of the old second edition Rhinos, like, and still in the original boxes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I gotta go fucking check this place out because they, you know, and I sure enough, we went up there. It was pretty cool. Like, and the stuff wasn't selling at ridiculous prices. It was selling at like pretty much what retail price would be when it came out.
Wow, that means that's great prices.
Well, in comparison to nowadays, so like a blister of Terminators was probably like a Terminator blister was probably like $12, you know, like kind of how it'd be because you can't get equivalent nowadays anyway because they don't sell blisters anymore.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
It was really cool.
Just retro games.
Retro games. Yeah, they had a couple tables in the back. Obviously, some people playing Magic. They had some terrain tables up in the front. You know, it was pretty cool. I mean,
I cast lightning bolts, 3 damage to you.
Oh, I tap my mana. I don't know what that means. I tap Jack Bauer for the 24.
There's a 24 card? That was a 24 collectible
card
game.
I know. That's what you tap the Jack Bauer.
Tap Jack Bauer.
But yeah, that was cool. And Gaming Goat is opening up a location in the Chicagoland. A second Oak Park.
And in St. Charles.
And St. Charles.
They're doubling down.
Yeah, they got 3 locations.
They have 3 locations currently. Yeah. They're going to be at 5.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. And then I know an ex-Games Workshop employee, Homer, is opening up a game store on Randall Road.
Yeah, they're doing Drakstar games,
Drakstar. Mm-hmm. And it's a massive location. It's like 3,000 square feet.
It looks like they're going to be a big store.
Yeah, it's a big store. And I was so it's like we're getting – so I wanted to ask
amusing story about that is apparently from what I hear, this is all scuttlebutt and rumors. You know, I can't confirm this. But Games Workshop refused to sell them product directly because they're too close to a Games Workshop retail store.
Really?
Yep.
Which one?
I don't know.
Because they're not super close.
Geneva Commons, maybe?
It could be Geneva. I mean, yeah. I'm not.
Well, that's the thing. Though you've heard it here, folks. Games Workshop, who previously stated that they're not trying to compete with their independent retailers, their independent partners, flat out will not sell their product to an independent retailer because it's too close to a Games Workshop retail store.
Well, there you go.
And yet again, another reason to hate them.
Why are you buying Games Workshop at a retail store? That's all I'm saying.
Why are you buying Games Workshop at all? Yeah, so what were you going to say?
Because I like
you,
Empire.
You were going to ask me something.
I wanted to ask you, okay, so that in Chicagoland region, that puts us at what? 5, 6, 7.
Infinite gaming stores.
Like, I could think of 9 game stores that have just opened in the last 2 years. Do you think it's a bubble? You think it's going to pop?
It's not a bubble. They're going to pop naturally as stores do.
Yeah.
It's just going to – there's a bunch of people opening. The stores that have a successful business model attain a customer base.
Oh, my God. And I want to talk to you about successful business models, but continue.
Okay. They have a successful business model. They attain a customer base, have good customer service, and get loyal customers. They'll survive.
Yeah.
The stores that don't will go down. There was a new store that opened up pretty recently. Unbelievably horrible customer service. They died in like 2 months.
I was talking with the guy who runs Drop Zone Games in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
X Games Workshop. He ran the Maryland bunker out there, the original bunker. And now he's running Drop Zone Games. His business model is based off straight up off the old. Now, to anybody who doesn't know Games Workshop, you know, the managers had a little black and red book that was written by, you know, Ernie Baker and all that fun stuff. And then there was
I think I still have my book somewhere.
Yeah, I have mine. And then you had the ten commandments and everything, right? Like that.
The Ten Commandments of Customer Service.
Yeah, AVSB Pedmas.
Yeah, AVSB Pedmas.
Yeah, there we go. See, that never leaves. Work for the store. Never forget that.
I remember Pedmas.
His philosophy, and I spent a lot of time talking with him, because he's a really cool guy. He's gigantic.
With him?
Yeah. It's in my mouth. He's like 6'3", you know, he looks like he could bench press me. It's like, he's a big dude.
Nice.
And he was telling me that, like, his way of doing it is that he's like, you could play whatever game you want in his store, and you could use whatever fucking models you want in his store. And he actually encourages people that, oh, you know, you play Tau. Well, look at these Infinity models would go pretty well with this Tau army, you know, and, you know, you do that and that. And then he gets like, and plus, even if, you know, you're tired of playing with your Tau, you can still use those models and play Infinity with them later. Mm-hmm. So it's a no-loss situation for you. You're actually getting two games.
The man's just trying to sell models.
He is, but the way he's approaching it is really cool, because he's saying like, oh, you like, you know, you're playing this army. Well, these models came out for this, and they would go pretty well with that army too.
Yeah, he's just not restrictive about it. Yeah, because he's probably that store. I've seen that store. It's like a battle bunker. It's huge.
Yeah, well, it is. It's in the battle bunker, the old battle bunker.
Well, yeah. I'm saying it's like, and they've got every game, so they have giant table space.
Yeah,
the easiest way to maintain and grow a customer base is to be like, oh, you already have a 40k army. You wanted to try Infinity. Well, instead of trying to sell your 40k army, why don't you try out Infinity with your 40k guys?
Yeah, exactly, and it's just like a really cool way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the smartest way it is. Because I always feel like that stores are going to live and die based upon their customer service. Because let's face it, if I wanted to buy models, I don't have to go to a store. I could just go online and buy them. I like going to a store because I like talking with the guys about the games.
Or aggressive discounting.
Or, yeah, I mean, aggressive discounting.
You need to have the service to back it up. But
yeah,
I've seen some stores who I would say had pretty good customer service go down because they charged MSRP for everything and didn't offer any sort of discount program or anything like that. And
there are discount, like Games Plus gives you
it equates to about 10%.
Yeah.
If you spend $100, you get $10 back.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, it's not awesome, but it's not bad.
Yeah. But I like going there. I like going to certain stores because I like BSing with people. I still go to the bunker because I like talking with the staff there.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the staff, some of them. The majority of them.
By majority of the staff, you mean one person?
No, there's a couple I like talking to. I like Adam, and I like, you know, Tim, and I like Gil. I like most of the people who work there. And I like talking with them because they're, you know, they're guys, and they just like talking about models and toys. I like talking about toys. That's why I have a podcast about talking like little dollies. That's what I have this podcast for.
I'm painting your silver pants blue.
I'm painting your silver pants blue. But aside from that, you know, I just think, like, do you think that there's going to be too many stores?
Here's the thing. Magic can sustain a lot.
Yes.
Especially where Chicago's a card town. We're not a minis town.
No, and we're not. We're a workshop town.
We're a workshop town because that's the only thing that's available. Now, I think, but that there's a vacuum. There's definitely a vacuum. Like, in the actual city of Chicago, there's the Dice Dojo.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of privateer press going. And then in Downers Grove, you've got Fair Game. And they've got a lot of War Machine going as well.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see people go like, oh, wow, there actually are people around here.
I don't think Fair Game sells GW at all.
No.
No.
I don't believe so.
The Dojo, I think, sells.
The Dojo does.
Yeah.
But like, there are people actually going, oh, wow, you actually, there's a market for this game.
Yeah. And what's it called down in Plainfield? Or the
New Game in Town?
No, the Wandering Dragon. They're a Malfo. They play Malfo.
Okay. The Goat does Malfo, too. Yeah. The Goat's big on Malfo. Which works well because Malfo fits on... Malfo fits conveniently on the white card tables that a lot of game stores buy.
Yeah.
Because Malfo's played in a smaller playing area than than a real miniatures way. Game.
Game Classy does not approve of the Malfo.
Like I just said, it's played in a smaller play area than a real miniatures game.
Yeah.
So it can fit on the Magic the Gathering tables that most game stores have.
I just don't get it. I look at people playing Malfo and I'm just like, I don't get it. It's like when I look at young kids listening to their music. I hear their
music.
You mean
when you look at Skrillex? I don't get it.
I listen to dubstep and I go, it's music. I just don't get it. That's Malfo. It's a mini game. Just don't get it. BattleTech. Why?
Why?
Why? What the hell are you doing? Anyway, that's our second podcast in a row where we talked a lot about gaming stuff.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, we had enough pop culture references in there.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, and if we'll be trolling around C2E2, so
yeah.
If any locals are going there, I will be avoiding you.
Yes, definitely. I got stopped by one person who recognized the Planet Arbitrary shirt.
Oh, nice.
That was it, just one person.
That's good.
I guess. Maybe C2E2 will get some more.
I don't know. I'm not wearing anything that identifies me.
Yes. Big sign says, I'm Steve. You should just have a sign that
I'll
says,
I'll wear a hat that just says Captain Douche.
You should get a big sign that just says, I'm Steve, with an arrow pointing down at you.
That would be awesome.
And you just walk around like that. You don't have to say, I'm Steve from Game Classy. Just says, I'm Steve.
I want to have it as a headset thing. Not a headset thing, but like a headband that's just got a springy sign. It's a springy arrow that says, I'm Steve.
It's like at Gen Con when the guys are wearing the big exclamation points like
The
World
Sims?
Of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The quest givers.
Yes.
Fuck World of Warcraft. Fuck that shit.
Apparently, not to go too far into video games, but apparently like there's a big complaint that people are playing the game and all it is just queuing up for instances and then going to the auction house.
Yeah, that's the game.
All it is.
Because once they added the instance queuing feature where you could sit in the town at the auction house and push a button and queue up for a dungeon, you never need to leave anywhere ever.
I know, that bothers me a little bit.
It were definitely, because I remember I had a lot of fun playing World of Warcraft when I was leveling before the instance finding thing, where we'd be like running around the zone, battling stuff, and be like, oh, we should give these guys and go to a dungeon. And like, be like, hey guys, you want to go to this dungeon with us?
Yeah.
And they're like, let's go to the caverns aren't far from here. And they're like, let's roll. And we all fucking go there.
Yeah, I'd be like hanging around and be like, hey, I got to go take out these elite guys. You want to help me? And right. They'd be like, yeah, sure, let's go take out these elite guys.
And then, of course,
guys.
In the shared areas, there were the skirmishes outside of instances, which are awesome. We'd be like, it's a lion scum, get them. And then, like, like someone's covering us so we can get into the instance.
Yeah.
So good. But it's gone.
Yeah,
it's all gone.
I haven't played World of Warcraft since 2007. So
that's fine. I'm just saying it's gone. Like the magic of the game, so to speak, is gone.
Yeah.
You know, Dungeon Finder just... It's like, I'm going to sit at the auction house. I'm going to go to the dungeons.
Can't complain. Anyway, that's about it for this week. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page, /GameClassy, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Game Classy Podcast. So, Steve, until next week.
Injustice is fucking sweet. You should at least try it.
Never!